Good morning. As I was sitting there thinking about Easter and Easter past and Easter present in my own life, and I realized when I was a child, Easter consisted of not eating meat on Friday, watching the Ten Commandments on Saturday, and running around looking for candy on Sunday. And in God's grace and providence and love and mercy, I stand before you today here to bring His Word to you. And that's the amazing grace and transformation of our God. I would encourage you to open a Bible and open to the Gospel of Mark, actually chapter 15, right before Robin just read in chapter 16. And I'm actually going to read the last reading we had on Good Friday that Ross read, Mark 15, 42 through 47. Excuse me. So that's page 853 in the little black Bibles in front of you. So Mark 15, starting in verse 42 through 47. This is after the crucifixion of Jesus, the very Word of God. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether Jesus was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock, and he rolled a stone against it, the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. The God-man, the Messiah of God, him who had perfect and complete knowledge of God, Jesus, who had complete humility before, obedience towards, and trust in God the Father. Jesus, who always was, always will be a part of the Holy Trinity, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken by God, separated from his Father for the first time in eternity, and experienced the full cup of God's wrath poured upon him for us, and he is dead in the ground. Next verse, 16:1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Jesus is not dead in the ground. Not that Sunday, not this Sunday, not any day evermore. Jesus was dead in the ground 3 days, carrying our sin upon him. 3 days forsaken by God the Father, experiencing the wrath of God for us. Jesus was dead in the ground, but he is not dead anymore. He is risen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you on this day. We celebrate the glorious truth, the glorious victory of a risen Jesus. We follow a God that is alive. We thank you for that, Father. And as we look into your word now, I pray that the truth that you have in here for us would become real to us. Not a head knowledge, Father, to know more about you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but more faith and more love for each other and for you. May that come about through this message today. I pray this in Jesus' name, our precious Savior. Amen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. All right. The title of this message is He Has Risen, Practical Truth to Help Us. Practical truth to help us. Practical reasons the resurrection can and should, and by God's grace, help us walk this life and have joy in Christ. Three truths, three simple, practical, powerful truths to apply to our lives because of his resurrection. So, because of his resurrection, because of the resurrection of Jesus first, he is not dead. We do not fear death. Two, because of the resurrection of Jesus, he is alive. We do not fear evil. And three, he is coming again. Because Jesus is resurrected, he is coming again. And this is the hope that we hold on to. So first, he is not dead. We do not fear death. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. That's page 942 in the Little Black Bibles. And we'll get started from there. We're going to be in a number of passages this morning, and I'll give you time to get to each of them because I want you to see the very Word of God. This passage we're headed to is ripe with gospel truth. There is a lot of gospel truth in it, and we'll work our way through it, but there is one reality within it that I really want to focus on. Remember where we are. Number one, he is not dead. We do not fear death. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. We are jumping right in the middle of a context here, but that's okay. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Watch now as Paul is about to explain the result of repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He's about to explain what happens that instant that you believe in the amazing transformation. Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might too walk in newness of life. Baptized into Christ. Does one have to be baptized to be saved? Yes and no. The Greek word for baptism means to immerse, to wash, or to cleanse. And in the New Testament, when you come across baptism, it can mean one of two things. It can be immersion in the Holy Spirit, cleansed and immersed in the Holy Spirit, or it can mean the water baptism, immersed in water. Immersion in the Holy Spirit is what actually happens to you, Immersion in the water is you telling the world what has happened to you. In this passage, he's talking about the reality of being saved. You are baptized into Christ the moment you repent and believe. It's important to know what has happened to us. It is important to know what happened to us. I am now dead in Christ. So my sin is also dead. It is buried with him. I'm also raised to life. And this is new life, life in Christ, life with the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. All the promises of God, all the yeses are now found in Christ. We've repented of our sin. We believed on Messiah of God, Jesus, and we are instantly indwelled with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Everything becomes new. I am born again. We then want the world to know we've been changed. We want the world to know that everything in us has changed. This is why baptism in water as a believer is so important. Not only is it a proclamation to the world that we are now children of God, it demonstrates to the world what happened on the inside. They can see it now on the outside. It also glorifies God because we obey him as he commands us to do it. So we are baptized into Christ. We do not fear death. Friday is past. It is Sunday. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. I want to read that together. Are you ready? For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Let that sink in. Let that be part of your heart forever. And there's more. Let's finish this passage. Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you, us, we, me, must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. To consider, to reason, to reckon, to put together in one's mind all of these things, we must understand and believe the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Dead with Christ, dead to sin, oh, but alive with him to walk in newness with life. New life, born again. If you don't understand, then pray for God to help you understand. Because believing that Christ is in you is critical to living the peace and the joy and the strength that today's resurrection truths offer. Secondly, if you've never been born again, baptized into Christ, born again, then the three truths are not for you. But by his grace, they could be. How does one become born again? Well, you need to realize, as God convicts you, that you're a sinner, that you have sinned against the holy God, and there is nothing that you could ever do to fix that. God sent Jesus to walk this earth as a sinless man, God-man, at the same time, and he took upon your sin and my sin and went to the cross. He had never sinned. He took the penalty for us. He took the wrath of God from us. He was separated from God for us. And he was buried and he was raised. How do you become born again? You take that heartfelt conviction from the Holy Spirit that you have sinned against him, and you say, I am sorry, and I turn from my sin, and I believe in Jesus, and I will follow him. Then you are born again. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, 962 in the little black book. It's not that far away. It's the next book in the Bible. So, we're still in our first resurrection truth. He is not dead. We do not fear death. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Now we're going to read what God, through Paul, told the Corinthians their reaction should be to this truth. We are united with Christ. Christ is resurrected. We will be resurrected. What do we do about that? 1 Corinthians 15:54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality. Let's stop there. This context is of the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. So when our perishable, broken down, sin-cursed body becomes imperishable, sinless, perfect in every way, when our mortal body becomes immortal and will be for eternity, then when Jesus calls us and this happens and we are transformed, then continue in 54. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not dead. We do not fear. Watch now. This is a big therefore coming in our walks. This is a huge therefore. We do not fear. Death is swallowed up in victory. 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, immovable, always, always abounding to overflowing. And in this case, this word means because of the knowledge of the victory over death, we are abounding in his work. Victory over death. Our labor is not in vain because we will live forever in Christ. So we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work. I'm a thinker. Some may say an overthinker. I'd have to think about that. Deep meditation and thought over truth is really good. It is. However, it needs to be truth. And Scripture is the only place you're going to find it. And the Holy Spirit in us is the one who testifies that the Word is truth to us. So whenever I'm preaching, or Pastor Dave or Pastor Robin is preaching, and we're going through this, you should go back and reread it. Make sure, check us. I remember some years ago when I was considering the Passion of Christ, as it's called, the suffering and injustice of Christ, the Passion of Christ, when I was considering it as a young believer, and I didn't know a whole lot other than the Ten Commandments, the movie, and Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus. I remember meditating on the Passion of Christ, and I thought to myself, well, that was easy for him. He knew that in the end, he was going to be resurrected and everything would be okay. That makes things easy, is what I thought. He knew. Well, it was not easy for him. And I've asked God and received forgiveness for that thought and that sin. The one day, by the grace of God, and by the illumination of his word, and by the Holy Spirit, the truth came to me in all its freeing glory. We know too. We are baptized into Christ, and we will rise too. In Christ, we have eternal life. It is signed and sealed and delivered. We have victory over death. We should have no fear of death. That frees us to serve him without the bondage of fear of dying. Therefore, we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not vain. Because of the resurrection, first, he is not dead. Therefore, we do not fear death. Number two, because of the resurrection of Jesus, he is alive, and we do not fear evil. Now, let me say this. Clearly, evil hurts and is painful. If you hear me saying we should be happy when evil comes in our way and happens in our life, if you hear me say we should be happy when tragedy strikes our family, then either I'm not explaining Scripture properly or you are not hearing well. What Scripture states about evil should create in us not a momentary happiness. Rather, because of God's truth and his promises, evil should not shake the deep down, bottom of our heart, soul, bottom of our soul, peace and joy. I'm trying to read that, and it didn't come out the way I really want my heart to reflect and for you to know that evil should not shake the joy and the peace that is deep down in us because of Christ. And that's the peace that passes worldly understanding. So we're still on point two. Because of the resurrection, he is alive. We do not fear evil. First, as a precursor, I want to move back to Romans 6. Page 942, because I want to read that passage again so we can get it fresh in our minds that we are baptized into his death and we are baptized into his life and we are walking a newness. You have to carry that forward in everything. You are in Christ. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that all of us that have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Verse 11. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive together, what? In Christ. We should not fear evil as we walk this world because we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, there are two truths I want us to see today from God's word to help empower us. We do not fear evil because in the risen Christ, first, evil directed towards us. Any evil directed towards us is always, always, always used by God for our good and his glory. No matter what it is, comes your way, moment by moment, any evil is used by God for our good and his glory. Second truth, evil cannot ever separate us from God. It cannot. No matter what. And these may be familiar. but they must be ingrained in our very souls, in our very beings. We must believe these. We must be consistently reminding ourselves and considering these things, and we must be consistently reminding each other. Flip forward to Romans 8. I'm not going to say much. God's word is very clear in this passage, but I'm going to pause somewhere around verse 30. Romans 8, 26. If you don't know where you want to meditate for the next couple of months in a passage, I would highly recommend the entire chapter of Romans 8. Romans 8, 26. We do not fear evil because in the risen Christ, evil directed towards us is always, always, always used by God for our good and His glory. Romans 8, 26. This is a rich passage. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. All evil things work together for good. All good things work together for good. All God's blessings work together for good. Every moment of every day, God's will is working it together for your good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. We do not fear evil in the risen Christ. Evil directed towards us as always, 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 always used by God for our good and for His glory. Evil directed towards us is used by Almighty God to make us more and more, from one degree of glory to another, more and more like Jesus. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things good? I added good. 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We do not fear evil because in the risen Christ, evil cannot ever separate us from God, no matter what, because of the love he has for us in Christ. We should not fear anyone. We should not fear anything but God, who can destroy body and soul and hell. And Christ did that for us. And he is alive. And nothing can separate us from God our Father, because he loves us in Christ. So because of the resurrection of Jesus, first, he is not dead. We do not fear death. Second, he is alive. We do not fear evil. And then third, because of the resurrection of Jesus, he is coming again. And this hope gets us through it all. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, the last book in the Bible, way towards the back. Revelation 21. I'm going to give you a moment to get there, because I want to read to you a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope. He is coming again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 tells us this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Our inheritance that is coming, that is guaranteed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, is imperishable. And it is undefiled. And it is unfading. And it is being guarded by God's power through faith. This gets us through the hard times, right? The hard times of life. This purifies our faith as we press on without fear, and we look to the glorious hope that is coming. We are always looking forward to what is coming. This helps. And we know and we believe, and we know and we believe that in Christ, nothing can stop us from this. Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Brothers and sisters, we must help each other learn not to fear. Not to fear death, not to fear all the evil in this world that is around us and coming at us. We must absolutely then also help each other look forward towards the blessed hope that we will be with Jesus and like him forever. We must move forward with our mission at Country Bible Church without fear and with the great hope. I want to close by reading Psalm 23. If you could get there quickly, please join me. Otherwise, you can just listen. I know Psalm 23 is used a lot at funerals for comfort, and well, it should be. But after going through this study and I read this psalm, I see it of great encouragement to me day by day as I walk. Psalm 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind still waters, beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that you have mercifully and gracefully and lovingly given us. Your word so we can learn about you and your Son, and not only learn and have knowledge of who you are and your character and what you've done and what you're going to do, but you have given us your word that we may know the way to you through Christ. And I do pray that any ears here today that don't know you have take heed of the gospel message, Father, and you would pierce their hearts with the light of truth, and you would convict them, and they may repent and believe on Christ. And I also pray, Father, for those of us who do know you and are called according to your purpose and have Christ in us, I pray that these truths of not fearing, which is all over Scripture, fear not, fear not, fear not, that these truths now will penetrate deeply within us, and we will have a boldness and confidence, not in ourselves, but in the reality that we have Christ, we are in Christ, and nothing can ever change that, nothing can ever touch that, and we will be with you forever. I pray that as Country Bible Church continues to be graced by you, and I pray for your continued grace, that we would be a church boldly proclaiming the truth of the gospel in a lost and needy world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.